I'd like to start kind of a series this morning, but not really a series, but maybe a series on prayer. And this passage here in Psalm 66 reveals to us one of the most important truths that we must understand if we want to have an effective prayer life. And so starting here in Psalm 66, verse 16, Psalm 66, verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." I've entitled the message, "Iniquity in My Heart." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that your will would be done in our hearts as we look into your powerful and precious word this morning. I pray the Holy Ghost would take it and change each of us, Lord. I pray that we would open our hearts and be honest with you about where we are in our own prayer lives. And Lord, that we would allow you to work in our lives, that we would come expecting to hear from you and be responsive to the Holy Spirit's prodding and leading and conviction. And so, Lord, your will be done. Meet with us now in this service. We give it to you and pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So David here is about to reveal something wonderful, he says. He says in verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." And David is about to share that God is a prayer-answering God. And he is. Praise the Lord. We're so blessed that when we're saved, we become God's children. We have access to his throne, which we'll talk about more later. And God answers our prayers. God loves us. And David's about to share some great truths about prayer. And he starts there in verse 17 by saying, "I cried unto him with my mouth." David, as the Lord explains in his word, wants us to understand that God wants us to pray. Prayer is not optional for a Christian. You don't get saved and say, okay, according to the Bible, as a Christian, I'm supposed to pray and read my Bible. I'm supposed to witness. I'm just going to pick A and D and leave out these other ones. It doesn't work that way. We have to pray. And God wants us to pray. God loves it when we pray. God created us for fellowship. And before the fall, God and Adam would walk together in the cool of the day and they would fellowship. Folks, because of Calvary, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can now fellowship with Almighty God. And he desires it. And he's glorified by it. And he takes pleasure in it. He wants us to pray. You know, Jesus said in Luke 18, it says, "He spake a parable unto them to this end," Luke 18:1, "that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Always to pray. Not sometimes, constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, just three words. Pray without ceasing. That'd be a good verse to memorize, wouldn't it? Three words. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." Praying always. Pray without ceasing. That's God's will. He wants us to pray. And when we do pray, notice verse 17, a big part of our prayer life needs to be praise. Notice he says, "And he was extolled with my tongue." That word extol means to lift up. It means to magnify. It means to put on a pedestal. When we go to prayer, it's not just to say, "Lord, okay, here's my list. I'm going to read my list and then I'll see you tomorrow." No. We need to set aside some time to extol his name, to praise and lift up Almighty God that loves us so much that he was willing to give his life on Calvary for our sins and rise again and give us eternal life. We need to be praising him. And it is a privilege that we have to access the throne of Almighty God. Do you understand that Old Testament saints didn't have that privilege? Now they could go to the priest. They could bring their offering. They could have the high priest go into the Holy of Holies on their behalf. Folks, I want you to picture it this morning. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can actually enter into this place that we get a glimpse of in the book of Revelation and other places called heaven. We can approach God's throne. That's really an amazing thought. And we can enter into His majesty, enter into His presence, and speak to Him. Shouldn't praise be part of that? Because it will be in heaven. The Bible says we're going to spend a lot of time praising the Lord in heaven. The Bible says the angels stand around the throne day and night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And so David said, I am going to spend time with God, and I'm going to praise God. I'm going to lift Him up. Turn over to Psalm 71, if you would, just a couple of chapters over. David, again, talking about his own prayer life. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Look down at verse 14. That I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. David understood and believed in the importance of lifting God's name. That when we enter God's presence, we need to enter it with praise on our lips. We need to lift Him up. But verse 18, which is really the key verse of our passage this morning, Psalm 66:18. We need to enter our prayer life with praise, but we can't and we shouldn't enter our prayer life with sin that's not been dealt with. And that's the key. The first key of prayer is you got to keep short accounts with God. Notice he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, does that mean we're sinless? That's impossible. We live in a sinful world. We live in a sinful body. We are saved, but we are not sinless. Now, doctrinally, we're justified. But practically, we are not sinless. So what does it mean? It means that we don't enter into our prayer life with sin that hasn't been confessed. Because God wants us to have sweet fellowship together. And that sweet fellowship is hindered by sin. If I regard it. You see, that's not talking about our behavior. It's talking about what we're holding on to inside. It's sins that we've already committed. It's sins that we're thinking about. It's sins of the heart. It's sins that we've not given to God. That we've not confessed. If I regard it in my heart. Let's look at a couple of scriptures together. Go to Psalm 15. I'll just try to stay in Psalms and Proverbs here. Psalm 15, look at verse 2. Talking about who God will bless here in Psalm 15. Look at verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You see, when we go to prayer, those little sins that we've not confessed, those that are areas of our life that we're trying to hold on to, we're not being honest with God. It says, speaketh the truth in his heart. It doesn't say, speak the truth with your lips. Speak the truth in your heart. God already knows the sins. God already knows those areas in your life that he's waiting for you to confess. He's just waiting for us to confess it and be honest. Speaking the truth in his heart. Now go to Psalm 19. If you would. And verse 14. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Is it possible to live a clean life on the outside and have wrong meditations on the inside? Absolutely. And the devil knows this. That's why the Bible talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The meditation of my heart. Is the meditation of my heart what it should be? If it isn't, We can't regard it. We can't hold on to it. We need to give it to God. We need to confess it. Because if we regard it, if we hold on to it, if we try to hide it from God, it's going to hinder our prayers. Another passage, Psalm 90 this time, and verse 8. Psalm 90 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance." Now, they're not secrets from God, of course. But most Christians have secret sins that other people don't know about. God knows. Notice it says, in the light of thy countenance. When we enter into God's presence, those sins are not secrets to God. But He's waiting for us to give them to God, to confess them. So as we are told in 1 John 1:9, He can forgive them. Not in the sense of going to heaven. That is totally separate. That happens the day we're saved, we're going to heaven, it's done. We're justified. Now we're talking about our fellowship. The relationship is established. We are His child. He is our Father. That's done. But the fellowship isn't sweet if there's a barrier of sin. And that's what David is teaching here. God is trying to say to us, don't regard iniquity in your heart. One more verse, Proverbs 28 this time, in verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Covereth his sins. You mean it's possible to try to cover our sins? Absolutely. One of the devil's biggest tricks. And it's been around since the Garden of Eden. I mean, what did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? Did they run to God and say, "Lord, please forgive us"? No. They ran and hid from God. And then when they were confronted, they blamed it on each other rather than admit that they were wrong. And so we do the same thing. That's why it says, he that covereth his sins, he that tries to hide them from God, he that tries to keep them away from God, shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. New Testament equivalent, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the Lord is telling us here in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity, if I meditate on it, if I think about it, if I hide it, if I try to keep it a secret, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Notice that's God's decision. It doesn't say He cannot hear me. It says He will not hear me. There's a big difference. Sin hinders prayer. And God chooses not to listen when we have sin that we've not dealt with. Again, this doesn't mean we're sinless. But it does mean that we've not kept any secrets from God and that we have brought all of our sins to God. We have confessed them. We have forsaken them to the best of our ability and asked God for help over them. It means we may still stumble. We may still make mistakes. But we have given them to God. We've confessed them. We've forsaken them. And if we don't, our prayers are hindered. And let's look at Isaiah 59, which is a great parallel passage to this truth. Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2. Notice the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that cannot hear, but," Isaiah 59, 2, "your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." There's that word "will" again. Will not hear. If I were God, iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We cannot regard iniquity in our heart and have an effective prayer life. And that really is the first and most important lesson we could learn about prayer, is don't allow it to be hindered by sin. We must come to our prayer time and give it all to God and confess and forsake every sin that we know of. You know, the Catholics have what they call confession. And once a week or whatever, they'll go to the priest and they'll try to remember everything they did for the past week. And then the priest does his thing and forgives them. Well, the Bible says man can't forgive sins, for starters. But beyond that, I'm sorry, but a week is too long to try to remember your sins. A day is too long. Basically, every hour, basically every sin, we need to bring it to God right then. If you're driving in the car, if you're at work, it doesn't matter. Confess it. Bring it to God. Forsake it. And then you're keeping that pathway sweet and open. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let's go back to our passage, Psalm 66, because then comes the good news. And that is, David obviously had learned the lesson about prayer, and he had forsaken the sins and confessed them. And he says in verse 19, "But verily God hath heard me." Praise the Lord. We serve a God that hears prayer. That is exciting. He hears every prayer. It doesn't matter. There's nothing too small for God. We talked about this Wednesday night. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God wants it all. He wants you to pray about everything. Look at Psalm 65, verse 2, where the Bible makes it very clear that our God is a prayer-hearing God. Psalm 65, verse 2. "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." Thou that hearest prayer. That's a description of our God. Thou that hearest prayer. You know, in Jeremiah, the Bible says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Your heart must be cleaned. Your heart must be prepared for God to hear, which means can't be regarding iniquity. Psalm 145:18 says, "God is nigh unto all them that call upon Him in truth." In truth. And of course, 1 John 5:14, "If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Our God is a God that hears prayer. But He's not only a God that hears prayer, He is a God that answers prayer. Praise the Lord. God answers prayer. Notice David goes on to say in Psalm 66:19, "He hath attended to the voice of my prayer." God answers prayer. We serve a prayer answering God. And He encourages us to pray so that He will answer them and show Himself powerful. He's the one that gets the glory. We'll talk about that in verse 20. But the Bible says in Proverbs 15:8, "The prayer of the upright is His delight." God loves prayer. God answers prayer. The Bible says, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." In 1 John 3:22. Our God is a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. Now look at verse 20 of Psalm 66. It's if you will, it's just a wonderful circle. As we said at the beginning, our prayer must be filled with praise. But when God answers prayer, what does that lead us to do? Praise God more. Verse 20. "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." When God answers our prayers, what do? We praise Him. And He gets glory because He answered a prayer. And it encourages us to praise Him more. And it encourages us to pray more. But ultimately, He gets lifted up more. Look at Psalm 116 this time, if you would. Psalm 116 in verse 1, where again, David is talking about prayer. Look what he says. "I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live." Do you know what encourages us to pray the most? When we pray the most. The more that we pray, the more we're encouraged to pray. because God answers our prayers. And the more that we pray, the more God answers, and the more we praise Him, and God gets more glory. And that's how it's supposed to work. God created us to spend time with Him, and we do that in prayer. Now, during that time, we need to open the Word, and we'll talk about that in a different message. But we must praise the Lord. We must lift Him up, extol His name. But we cannot enter into the presence of a holy God with sin that's not been dealt with. And that is exactly what David is trying to teach us. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I come to my prayer time and I have iniquity that I've not dealt with, that doesn't mean we're sinless, but it means we've dealt with it. We've confessed it. We've forsaken it with God's help. We've given it to the Lord. Now it's dealt with. Because the Bible says, if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just. So that means it doesn't matter if it's the same sin 100 times. It's based on God's faithfulness. Amen? As I've heard people say, I can't take this sin to God. I've already taken it to God too many times. Where in the Bible does it say there's a limit? The limit is the faithfulness of God. And there is no limit. So we cannot enter into our prayer time with sin that's not been confessed, forsaken, or we're hindering that fellowship with Almighty God, which is the thing He desires the most, fellowship with His children. So be encouraged this morning to never, ever come to your prayer life with secret sins, to never come to your prayer life with the meditation of your heart not being what it should be without giving it to God. And you know what God will do? Forgive it. Because our God is a forgiving God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's the one that cleans us. He's the one that makes us right so that the fellowship can be sweet. But it starts with our will, our willingness to give it to Him, our willingness to confess it, to forsake it, and allow God to cleanse it so that that fellowship stays sweet. We must never regard iniquity in our heart, or we will be hindering our prayer life. So, just a great truth that we all need to take to heart.